Chapter 15. Buck returns to the wild.
When Buck comes back into the camp, John Thornton is eating his dinner. Buck jumps on him. He licks his face and bites his hands. Buck doesn't leave the camp for 2 days. He is always at Thornton's side, but he remembers his wild brother. He returns to the forest when he can, but the wolf is not there. Buck begins to sleep outside at night. He stays away from the camp for many days. He continues to look for the wolf. In the forest, his natural instincts come alive. One day, he kills an animal for meat. He returns 2 days later and sees a dozen wolverines finishing his meat. He chases them away. He becomes a hunter, killing for meat, fishing for salmon in the streams. One day, he even kills a large black bear. He is a predator. He looks for prey. He lives alone in this harsh environment, and he is proud because he knows only the strongest animals can survive here. He is proud, too, of his strong body and his ability to hunt and kill. He is proud that he can live like his wild brothers, the wolves. Buck now thinks and acts like a wolf. His sight, hearing, and smell become very acute. He is intelligent and fast. When he sees a movement in the trees, he moves very quickly. When he hears a sound, he turns immediately. His muscles are like steel. His blood is fresh with energy.
"There are no other dogs like Buck,"
says John Thornton one day. Everyone in camp is watching his dog.
"There won't be others like him again either,"
says Pete.
"He's special."
"Sure thing,"
says Thornton. Buck is different in the camp. He is sleepy and lazy. He lets Thornton pet him. He lies next to his master or follows him around. He is Thornton's companion. But in the forest, Buck changes, moving quickly and silently. No animal escapes him. He catches fish, beavers, rabbits. He is a confident hunter. One day, Buck sees a herd of moose. He chases the herd. One bull moose is alone. Buck circles the bull moose. The moose charges at him. Buck follows the herd. He and the bull moose watch each other for 3 days. He is very patient. He doesn't get tired. On the fourth day, he attacks the moose many times. Soon the moose becomes weak. Finally, Buck kills the moose. He feels proud. He is a stronger hunter than ever now. After the hunt, Buck decides to return to the camp. He finds a new trail in the forest and follows it. After a while, he sees Nig lying on the ground. He has an arrow in his body. He is dead. 100 meters further down the trail, Buck sees one of Thornton's sled dogs. He too is dead. Buck arrives at the camp. He sees hands full of arrows dead on the ground. Nearby, Buck sees several Yeehat Indians dancing around the cabin. He is very angry. This is his camp. He springs on one of the Indians and tears his throat. He jumps on another Indian and kills him too. The Yeehats try to kill Buck with their arrows, but he dodges them. The Yeehats are afraid of Buck. They can't kill him, so they think he must be a devil. He chases them away from the cabin. Buck returns to the camp, where he finds Pete's body. Full of sadness, he goes down to the stream. It is very quiet there. He finds his master, John Thornton, near the water. He is dead. Buck stays by the stream and cries and cries. He has a terrible emptiness inside him. His heart aches. His best friend is gone. He sniffs his master's body. Men die so easily, he thinks. It is evening. The moon is bright in the sky. Buck feels his wild instincts waking up. He hears the sounds of his wild brothers in the forest. He runs back to the place where he met the timber wolf. The sounds are louder. This time, he is ready to obey the call. His master, John Thornton, is dead, and his last connection with humans is gone. Buck finds the pack of wolves. They are eating the meat of a moose. An old wolf moves towards Buck. They touch noses. The call is very strong inside Buck now. He sits down and turns his nose up to the sky. He begins to howl long and loud. The rest of the wolves howl too. This is the end of Buck's story. What happened to him next, we will never know. But the Yeehat Indians in the Northland still talk about a powerful ghost dog in the remote forests there. They are afraid of it. It steals food, they say, and robs their traps. It kills their dogs. This dog is not always alone. Often, many wolves follow it. It runs at the head of a great pack of wolves. It springs high in the air and howls the call of the wild.